Hello, my name is Shirley Clarkin and I'm the Heritage Officer with Monaghan County Council, and today we are in the lovely town of Clonas in the west, northwest, I suppose, of County Monaghan, and we're here to talk about place names and how they have cultural and natural resonances for where we are today, where we live, and how to help us sort of understand more about them and their origins.
Hi, I'm Larry McDermott, a member of the Clara Historical Society and of the Patrick Kavanagh Society.
Hello, my name is James Sheeran, and I suppose I'd class myself as a student of history and local history and just have a love for it, so that's why I'm here.
Okay, so we're going to take a walk. We're outside the Clonas Library and we're going to take a walk from here up to the Diamond in the centre of Clonas. So let's go. So James, we're walking up to the Diamond, and what's the origin of the place names up around the Diamond in Clonas?
Well, in Clonas, in Irish Haskalga, a diamond is known as a cairnog, which is kind of like a square. But in Clonas, because everything's at 45 degrees, a square, a diamond is a square at 45 degrees. But the actual townland that the Diamond is on and the surrounding area is called Cross Mile, which comes from the Irish Crush Mwail, and that is pertaining to the Celtic cross, or the high cross on the Diamond, which originally lost its head. So it was, Mwail means bald or headless.
Yes.
And because the head of the cross, the round kind of sun-like object, like harking back to the pagan days, you know, even though it was religious and it was Catholic, they still have a calling for the old sun worshipping and that there. So that's why the head was missing. Now, I'm not sure if it was in the dissolution of the monasteries, you know, around 1530 or whatever, King Henry VIII and that, but the head was missing anyway, and that head is reputedly to be kind of maybe 16th or 17th century. So it's as opposed to the shaft, which is the original kind of 9th or 10th century then.
Yeah, you know, and the shaft on the high cross here in Clonas is much larger, isn't it, than the head? So it would have been a much, much larger cross than the one we see here today.
Yes, and where it sits on the Diamond now, apparently it's not the original position of it. It was kind of towards the where the round tower was, or at the foot of the fort, where the old chief allowed St. Chiernach to build his monastic settlement there, you know. So.
And Clonas itself, like the whole town of Clonas, what does that mean? Clonas Cluanóis? Is it the meadow?
Yes, well, Cluan, anywhere that has Cluan is a meadow. And then when I was growing up, like I've always had a love of local history, and that it was Cluan Óis, like Óis was the local chief.
Yes.
But then in later years, then it could have been, there was talk of Cluan Inish.
Okay.
So it was the meadow in the island meadow, basically.
Yes.
And because Clonas was reputedly surrounded by water, the lower Erin Basin, before it was drained and that, it would have been marshy and surrounded by water. So the Clonas, because most of Clonas, the Diamond, Fermanagh Street, everything else is kind of a hill running down to it. And that lower level was, that's where the island came out of, reputedly Cluan Inish come from. So.
And a lot of ecclesiastical settlements did tend to be on Inishes, didn't they? So you look at Inishkeen.
Yes.
As well, the beautiful meadow.
Yeah, Devonish as well. You know, because there was I suppose an island is like a sanctuary, like, you know, and that's maybe where that come from, like, you know, that kind of loneliness, you know.
And safety as well, perhaps, from attack.
There you go, of course, yes. Because the Vikings, I think they come up in 837 or 840 and around that, like, you know, they came up from Ballyshannon.
Yeah.
And they came all the way up the Erin, and there was a lot of monastic settlements all the way up there, like, you know, Devonish, you know, kind of. So that's and where the religious settlements would have had gold and stuff like that there, and the Vikings were after that, like, you know, originally, like, you know, before they started trading and that there, and kind of assimilating into Irish society, like, you know. So
that's the main town land name then in Clonas is Cross Mile, and that's in Cluan Óis.
Yes.
And then are there other town land names, like, for example, is the Motton Bailey still in Cross Mile as well? It would be
yeah. Oh, well, there is. Now, I did hear that at one stage that there was a kind of a, like, town lands are roughly about 340 acres, and from 340 up to 1,000, it depends on the way things, you know, way it was set out. But it could have been a river or a ditch, the same way as the border runs nowadays, a river or a ditch or a shuck, or across the road, like from where I was reared out, the Newtown Road was Carn, but straight across the road our neighbours were in Mullinamay.
Now, what's the name, what's the meaning of Carn? Is that a cairn?
Cairn, yeah.
And then Mullinamay, is that a hill of Of Moy? What's
of,
that?
Of Moy or May, or, you know, could have been a plane, you know?
Yeah,
you know,
plane, yeah.
Plane, you know, like as in Mayo, the
could
plane
have been
of the
a,
that,
a shrubby plane, or a shrubby plane,
yeah.
Probably.
But na would mean plural, so there must have been something there as well, you know,
right.
So.
So now we're standing at the High Cross. We're standing in the Diamond, or the Cairnogue, isn't that right?
The Cairnogue, yeah.
And we're looking at the 10th century High Cross with the more recent smaller head on it, and then the little box-shaped shrine at the very top in the middle of Clonus. And of course, that's what Clonus is mostly famed for, isn't it? In Crossmoyle, there are all of these ecclesiastical features, all the different churches.
Yes, so we have the Round Tower, we have the wee abbey of St. Peter and St. Paul that St. Chiernach apparently went to Rome and then brought back relics then of the bones of St. Peter and St. Paul then, you know. And Clonus would have been on a turris or a schlee of monastic kind of, you know, kind of like a Camino, like you know, the
like
way
a pilgrimage.
The pilgrimage route, like, you know, it would have went on up to probably maybe from Clonmacnoise or coming up this way, and then you had maybe Devonish, Lough Derg, you know, different Glencolum Kill and all that kind of crack, like, you know, so.
So, Larry, you're going to tell us a little bit about some of the territorial boundaries around here, aren't you? So maybe the Black Pig's Dyke or the old names for that.
Yes, Shirley. Just outside of Clonus, you find two townlands, Kilark and Corna Paste. Kilark, the wood of the pig. The Black Pig's Dyke runs through this townland and also through the neighbouring townland of Corna Paste. Paste is the Irish for a worm, and an alternative name for the Black Pig's Dyke is the Worm Ditch.
It was a very giant worm.
It sure
it was.
It was
a big serpent, wasn't it?
It sure was. And in the imagination of the Irish, they thought that this dyke or ditch that meanders across the countryside was made by this giant worm.
So, thinking about the Black Pig's Dyke and how wooded it is now, you know, we've got 10 kilometres there of sort of massive hedgerows. There are a lot of place names in Monaghan too, Larry, aren't there, associated with woodlands and different types of trees?
There are indeed, Shirley. We are reminded that Ireland centuries ago was a well-wooded land by numerous inclusion of the names of trees in our place names. The commonest words for wood are Cuil, Cuilí, Dirre, Fee and Ross. Examples, Kilmacdrasna, Kiligally. Kiligally, the wood of the large stone. And incidentally, in that townland, limestone quarries abound. The Derry and Dara townlands, 20 of whom you find in Irrigiltru, refer to the massive oak forest that once covered this land.
And there's still a small little bit of ancient woodland left there at Derry Gonley, I think, is it?
Derry Gonley, perhaps, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have also townlands like Cool Derry in the parish of Maraclune, also in the parish of Carrickmacross. Fee, where we get the word the Fuse in South Armagh. Fee is also a wood. And Fee R.O., the wood of the ford of the yew tree on the River Laggan or the Cosson.
And the yew is a very ancient tree in Ireland, isn't it?
And it was regarded as sacred by our pagan ancestors. Incidentally, at Fee Ho, which is on the Monaghan side of the River Laggan, but on the opposite side in County Meath, you have the townland of Ballyho, Bail Ahui. And at the ford, it was here in 1539 that Lord Leonard Grey caught up with the Ulster chieftains and slew quite a few of them.
All right. But isn't the yew tree also quite common around Clonus as well, like near Annalore there?
Yes. Carinure in
Ballinure.
Ballinure in Killeven and Mullinure in Trua. Now in South Monaghan, you have Onure, the yew, and of course Newry is Onurekin Traw, but you have the Newramore and the Newrabeg townlands in the parish of Killarney. Another name for yew is O, E-O, and you have Ochil, Ochil, the yew wood.
Wow, and you know, yew woodlands now are really rare,
yeah.
And like, you know, they're really protected if you can find them. They're really special, special places. Such a shame there's none left.
But because the yew was poisonous to animals, they were confined mainly to churchyards, enclosed spaces like churchyards. The ash tree is another tree that grows profusely throughout our island, and many townlands bear witness to this. Mullaghinchna, the townland made famous by Patrick Kavanagh in Stony Grey Soil,
And what does Mullaghinchna mean?
Mullagh is a hill.
Hill.
And Funchog is ash.
Okay.
So you have Mullaghinchna. You also have Corinchna in Dunamine.
Another hill, so yeah. A round hill this time.
Yeah, a round hill. Corinchigo in Clontibret.
Another round hill.
Another
with,
round
with
hill.
Ash.
Yeah. And physical shapes of hills.
Yes.
Feature in our townlands. For instance, a long narrow hill often was called Lurgans, after the shin bone.
Lurgan,
okay. The shin bone. And you mentioned Cor as a round hill. Mullagh is a mound. And then you have Tullock.
Yeah.
And the Tullochs were very special. The Tullock Hills were often used as inauguration sites for the local chieftains. Example, Tullinnasca,
yes.
The Tullock of the Bushes. And then in County Tyrone, you have Tullyhoag, famous as the inaugural site for the O'Neill.
Okay. And then there isn't there Drim or Drum a lot in Monaghan, of
Drum,
course.
Of course it is. Very frequent. And it's not surprising because we're part of the Drumlin Belt of South Ulster. And you have, in fact, it's the most numerous name of a townland in South Monaghan. There are 54 drums in the barony of Farney alone.
Isn't that amazing to think that the topography of County Monaghan is enshrined in the names of places? You know, if we were in an indigenous landscape, you know, in one of the countries that we would consider to be have indigenous tribes, and they had names of places like the Hill of the Ridge of the Crow, mm-hmm. we'd be just fascinated by those places, and we have them here in Monaghan, and yet we're not fully engaged with them because we've just kind of lost that little mm-hmm. link to what the puzzle of the place name means, isn't it?
This is
it's
fantastic,
just
yeah.
fantastic.
One of the townlands that I really love the name is Grea Lata Coppel. Grea Locked a Coppel.
There's a stone and a stone, horse in there, isn't
there? A horse in it. It's the mountain flat of the Monument to the Horse.
Wow.
And there's a penal altar there. And some years ago, while we were having an open-air mass celebrated at the penal altar, what was watching us? Some horses.
Ah. We're just walking past the old Clonus Library, I suppose. Well, it was the old market house in the Diamond here in Clonus. Past where the old plantation castle would have been as well on the other side of the street. And we're heading down towards the wee abbey of St. Peter and Paul. Isn't that right, James?
That's right, Jip.
And down towards the Round Tower graveyard. And we're still within the townland of Crossmoyle. And all of this is situated in the one townland. And it's amazing how it's become so built up, but there's so much archaeology still here, isn't there?
Still, you never know, like a couple of feet down, what you'd find, like, you know. And indeed, the planter's castle there is kind of dating, but that big curtain wall is kind of dating from 1640s, was it? Or kind of back
a bit
then.
Earlier.
Yeah, a bit earlier. Aye, there was an original wall and then the castle then on top of that. But like anywhere you go in Clonus, you're going to come across history. Like anywhere you go in Ireland, you're going to come across history. Like Larry was on about the different names for hills. Like there's four or five. It's nearly like the Eskimos and the snow. Like you have 100 names for snow in Eskimo language.
Yeah,
like, you know,
and it's
great to see. So anywhere you see Ross would mean forest, like Rosslea, not far from here. Rosslea is
yes.
the grey forest. Rossmore, you know, Lord Rossmore, even he took the name, the Irish name. I'm sure he wasn't just aware of that at the time, but that's the way things move. Like, you know, that ancient naming of places, it's nearly poetic, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Nearly,
and the way they become fossilised.
Colours, yes, fossilised into the memory, like, you know.
Yeah.
And the way they were anglicised, indeed.
Well, they were trying to standardise, weren't they, the spelling of them or the pronunciation of them, and to find common
yeah.
words.
Standardise and anglicise.
Yes.
After the Union of Ireland, the Act of Union in 1801, that was the way they were working it. Like they wanted to standardise everything. There was the Ordnance Survey
yes.
going on as well. And they
were
wanted
John O'Donovan's great letters, of course.
That's right, yeah. And so
yeah.
The sappers, the Royal Engineers come over. They were doing the actual the Ordnance Survey of Ireland. I think it was nearly done before England was done as well, and they enlisted the help of local scholars and that there to come up with different names and different, you know, explain
it's really
the topography and that, like, you know.
It's fascinating when you read some of John O'Donovan's letters. You know, the Ordnance Survey have that book where they've collected all John O'Donovan's letters, and he says he was talking to a local indigenous person in such and such a town, and you know, he stayed in Clonus and he walked around it with someone and he tried to figure out the meanings of things, and he was constantly sending letters back to head office. But he was having a great time. You could tell
yeah.
he was just in his element, enjoying finding out about heritage, actually, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's it. Like, uncovering, like, you know, unearthing, if you want, like, you know.
The discovery.
That's it. And that's what it's all about. And every single generation, from a young age, I was always, you know, interested in local history and that, like, you know. So we're always hunting and finding out names and what this meant and what that meant. Even, like, local farmers would have the likes of Earl's Meadow or the Wee Bog or the Bottom Field or the Bottom, you know.
Yeah.
And you put your own
stamp.
Your own stamp on that there. Like, you know, every local area, even different words. You know, even there's like in Monaghan, Ballyalbany.
Yes.
And Alban is like Scottish. And I was always wondering the origins of that. Was it because there was a Scottish settlement, like a Presbyterian settlement? There's a wee church there. So that could have been a Scottish Presbyterian. Just outside the town there. It's near Leonard's
Engineer.
It is. That
is, that is what that's about. And we're here now in the Round Tower graveyard, of course. Which would have been the centre of the monastic settlement in Clonus or Cluanoche. And St. Tyrannach established this monastery here. And of course, we still have what's reputed to be his stone reliquary shrine on one side of the graveyard, which is amazing. It's only one of two in the whole country, I think, that exists. So it's a really important monument. And you can hear all the buzz and people strumming and doing all sorts of activities around here because we're right in the middle of the town.
Yeah, well, that was St. Tyrannach's sarcophagus, and that was a stone replica then of the wooden one that originally carried St. Tyrannach's bones, like, you know. But it was probably the Augustinians that landed with the kind of Normans and kind of tightened up that pagan Irish, you know, the wee bit kind of.
Were we tending towards a bit of picking and choosing what we wanted to do?
Well, a la carte. It was no worse than we are now. Like, but you can see the old gravestones there, that they're round. You know, they're still got that pagan sun god, that sun worshipping, like, you know. But just across from us here, we have Tea Hill, which apparently, because, as I said earlier, that the water was surrounding Clonus, like, people used to bring them to here, and it was Tear Hill. You know, that's what I heard anyway, like, you know. And they were saying goodbye, then we're coming over here to get buried, and the tears would flow then when they were saying goodbye to their loved ones, like, you know, at the foot of Tunney's there, where the factory is at the minute, or ABP.
That's a
lovely, like, you know,
place. I didn't
know
so that.
So that's Tea Hill over there, across that way there, like, across where they...
James, going back to, you mentioned the headstones, I noticed the mortality symbols on them, the cross bones, the bell, the coffin, the skull... Skull and crossbones.
And the timer, the sand timer as well.
The timer.
Time's running out. No one can defeat those.
Exactly.
Like,
of course, people couldn't read, but the symbolism was enough to get the message across.
Yeah.
And that's the thing also with the place names, isn't it? So people weren't reading. So it was those people who had that... Who were scholars, who were writing down from the native Irish the pronunciation of the place names, and then because they maybe had their own pronunciation of words, that's where things got mixed up, wasn't it? It was that standardisation again, people who weren't of the pronunciation here writing down the words and maybe getting them mixed up. So that's why sometimes when you read place names and you go into the Cuisteálach Anann Macha website, which lists all the place names for Ireland, all the townland names, you can click on the map and find out loads of information. You can even see the earliest written record of the place name and how it has changed down through the centuries. So I mean, that's a fascinating way even just to see, to think, is your place, do you think your place name is accurate now, representation of actually what it meant, or did you think it means something maybe slightly different?
I'm just admiring that slender round tower and thinking of the one in Enniskeen at the other end of the county, where there's only a stump of it remains, but it was reputed to have been a very tall round tower as well, erected way back to protect the little monastery of Enniskeen, founded by St. Dig in the 6th century, attacked on several occasions by the Vikings.
And the name for Enniskeen was originally much longer, wasn't it? It was Enniskeen de Dega, is
Dega,
that right?
Yes. Dig's Pleasant Island, if you translate
Beautiful.
It. And I'm frequently asked on touring round Enniskeen, where was the island?
Yes. Well, a the bit river, like Clonus.
Yeah, the River Fane actually divided in two. And the round tower and the old monastery is in the centre of the old island. And some years ago, during a very wet winter season, the River Fane backed up and it almost formed an island again.
Oh, wow. Isn't that lovely? It's kind of like history repeating itself.
It is indeed.
And Enniskeen also has a Martin Bailey, just like Clonus, doesn't
has indeed.
It?
In fact, the Normans, when they came in, they were the 2 points in County Monaghan where they left their, well, they left their Martin Baileys.
And it's both had round towers, so it shows you they went to the locations where they sensed they were seats of power.
Yeah.
And isn't that always the way? Like, we always go to the place where we think holds the power, you know, the time depth of the place, because that's obviously the most important.
Yeah, well, in troubled times in the past, people tend to orientate towards the monasteries for security, to give them some security. Of course, there were no hospitals, but the monks would look after the sick. And an industry grew up supplying needs to the monastery, etc. So you had tiny settlements growing outside of the monasteries. And the Normans would place a Martin Bailey castle close to a settlement to keep an eye on the locals, so to speak.
Yeah. Some things never change.
Yeah, we have the Martin Bailey up here in Clones, but I think it was Hugh de Lacy that built Trim Castle, come up this far, and he wanted to conquer the north. This was a stopping point for on, indeed, that's where Donegal gets his name. Donegal is the fort of the foreigner, and originally it was after Conall Gulban, maybe. I think he was the son of Niall of the Nine Hostages, like, you know, and Tyr Owen, Tyr Conall.
And Tyr Owen is the country of Owen.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Tyr Conall being the country of
Conall. Yeah, Conall Gulban, yeah. Like, yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Indeed, Ballyshannon, Bailey Ahashunna is maybe, well, there's two things there. For, he was a grandson of maybe Conall Gulban, or there was a ford there as well, like, you know.
And then Bally's another name, isn't it? Like Balia, like town. So that's
Balia, but Bale also, which was mean mouth.
Open.
Yeah, yeah,
mouth.
Yeah, yeah, mouth of the river. Bun as well. Bun comes from that there. Bun, Bournefoot. Would be the foot of the river, like the end of the river where it met, you know, the estuary where it opened into the sea then as well.
So Ballybay then?
Bay, the mouth of the yellow, the ford of the
birches.
Birches.
And then don't we have Edrigal and Edrigal, which is something to do with a fork in the river, being between a fork and a river. Isn't that right? Idr.
Gavla is a fork. And
Idr Dá Gaoilge.
And in South Monaghan, in the parish of Inniskeen, you have two tributaries of the stream meet to form a fork. The townland is Fi Gevla, the wood in the fork.
Well, that's just a fantastic place name. This was so interesting to talk about all the place names here and the townland names. And like, I think it's a real area that's rich for study for anybody. And you can go to the Lough Anna Macha website online and get tons of information. And then even dive into the Folklore Commission from the 1930s, the Children's Project, the Schools Project, and get loads more there as well. So I think this is fantastic. It just shows you how heritage has been marked all along, both, you know, orally and verbally, and then when it came to the written form, that was the important thing to write down to sort of hold on to our history. Will we walk on out of the graveyard and have a look around? Heritage at the Heart podcast series is supported by the Heritage Council and Monaghan County Council.